Good evening. This is Pert Clark with Love News Confusion. Several years ago, a group of musicians formed what came to be known as the Mahavishnu Orchestra. Their music was dynamic, complex, and significantly different from most. Much of that refreshing difference was due to a man named John McLaughlin. He is best known, perhaps, as one of the fastest electric guitar players in existence, and since he often uses a specially built guitar with two necks, his range of sounds is quite beyond that of the usual player. But his diverse music and compositions spring from much more than technological advantage. John McLaughlin seems to have gone deliberately inside himself in searching out the places where audio magic exists. This interview is a discussion of his music and his motivations, neither of which he takes ultimate credit for. The discussion was recorded outside, my apologies for the constant wind noise, but as the interview begins here, I have just asked John what kind of feedback, meaning audience response, he receives from his performances.
The only reason I'm talking about this is because feedback means it's like, you could say it in a way. I guess you could say that. But I just don't like to think of it in those terms, you know.
Well, it depends on how you think of feedback, and if it sounds right. Technological to you, then it is, I assume.
I mean, I use feedback, you know. I use feedback on the guitar.
Right.
It doesn't sound soulful, you know, and that really, I like that better.
Soulful?
Yeah, right. Soulful, you know, deep, honest, and, you know, sincere.
I want to get a question out of the way right away.
Shoot.
One thing that you've said, I don't remember where, is that you think that a lot of audiences are underrated,
mm-hmm.
or people are underrated.
Yeah.
And then why don't you go into that, Bridget?
Well, being a disciple, which is really the first thing in my life, then a musician, when you get those things sorted out in your life, and you meditate and you work for a different idea. You don't work for selfish gains, really. You start working on yourself, you know what I mean? Because I'm not saying that I'm like, you know, above it all, far from it, you know. There's a long way I have to go before I'm free of ignorance of it. A long way. But, you start meditating and you start looking at life with new eyes, and you start saying, you start finding out about yourself. And what I feel is that the more you find out about yourself, the more you find out about everybody else. Because I basically know who everybody is now, you know. And not only that, I know what everybody is, because I'm learning what and who I am. And, you get down to a certain point where it's just pure universality. And because of this, I see infinite potentiality in everyone. And that is in the capacity to appreciate or capacity to experience the infinite. I'm speaking ideally now. But this for me is a reality. I know they have got the capacity to experience the infinite. And it's just a matter of it being put in the right way for people to embrace new forms, new ideas and new concepts. When I first put the old orchestra together, there was a lot of static from a lot of people who said, you know, never make it because vocals, you know. And as it happens now, ironically enough, on the second group, there are, I'm using voices, you know, which I really love. I love voices.
The woman has a really nice
voice.
Oh,
she's beautiful. She's so beautiful. This is my conviction. And I listen to radio. I listen to AM radio. And there are some fine records, AM records. But it's, in a way, it's the radio is restricted by the people who project their own inability to appreciate on other people, on the general listening public. And that is, they are determining, in a way, the scope of the AM listening public, say, for example. FM's different. FM's a little looser, more embracing of newer things, you know. And so this is my feeling about audiences generally, that they are ready to take anything that's really good, that's really honest, say. It's really sincere, and that has inside of it dedication and devotion. Because who does not appreciate dedication and devotion in some form or other? There's nobody on earth who doesn't appreciate it, because it's part of their own nature. Dedication and devotion are part of the soul's nature, and because everyone is the soul, they recognize them intuitively, even if they've never experienced them before. Because they already have it in them. Everyone's born with these things in them. That's part of your natural birthright. You know, you don't have to, you're not given them, or you know, you have to cultivate them. They're yours.
You mean human qualities, you mean?
Divine qualities I'm talking about. We all have got divine qualities, only a lot of them are sleeping. A lot of them are just like latent, like seeds, you know, just like a seed in the ground. But for the seed to grow, it needs sunlight, and sunlight, it's like sunlight and rain are like, you know, I mean, you could say, like, poetically, like the sunlight is allowing the inner light in your meditation to blossom, to cultivate these qualities, you know, and the tears of aspiration or whatever, you know, the tears of longing to water it, you know. I mean, that's just one way of saying it. But for me, wherever I see dedication and devotion, it catches me right here. So if the music, even if it's got like a funny out of form, you know, like it's different, it's new, if it embodies sincerity, honesty, dedication and devotion, I feel it cannot fail.
What do you mean fail?
I mean, it cannot fail to be accepted. It cannot fail to find a responsive chord in the soul of people, of listening.
It strikes me that you're in a strange business, music business. I mean, I don't
music business.
Well, that's what happens, you know. That's what it is. That's how you got here. You know. I mean, you can't.
It's not the music business thing. But don't you see? That's just like an out of form. It's just like a shell.
Well, that's. I mean, see, that's what I mean.
That's just the out of shell. I mean, that's necessary. Administration's necessary. But it's, you know, I mean, what do you mean strange, you know?
Well, what do you mean strange? You know, you can take it any way you want to.
I mean, you're talking about what producers and record companies and stuff like that?
And the whole promotion and people buying and whether or not your record is played and you can afford to come to Tucson, Arizona from wherever you're living. I mean, all the mechanics of the system that sometimes structures what people are going to hear on the radio, you know, that's the music business. And that's a lot of why you can do this.
It's work, and it's money, and it's faith, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for me, it's God's grace, it's Guru's grace. Because in the beginning, when I didn't even have a band. And I went to Columbia Records. Clive Davis was then president, who I like. He got sacked for misappropriation of funds. But that's a man who I like, and not only that, I will be grateful to him forever. Because I had no band, I went to him and I said, you know, I'm like this, and I want to do this, and I feel that music is like this. You know, just what I'm saying now. And I said, you know, this is something that I have to do, and I have faith that it'll work. And he said, great. He said, you just do what you want, and I'm right behind you. You know, and that's great. For me, that's faith, you know. It's pure faith. He just had faith. And that's a manifestation of a divine quality. You know what I mean? I mean, it's as simple as that. And it's the same with every record, like especially with this new record that's just come out, you know, with this new band, dissolved the old band, made a new record, some new music, and I don't know how whether people are going to reject it or not. I have faith that they will accept it, but I don't know for sure. Nobody knows until you go out there. You don't know. I didn't even know if they're going to buy the album. But the thing is, I've got such confidence in my faith, is that not only that, I'm ready to accept not to accept it. I'm ready to be rejected.
John, why don't you explain how you hear the music?
How I hear the music?
Sometimes I'll hear it in meditation, sometimes I will meditate on music itself. I'll meditate on, I might be playing, and suddenly out of the blue I'll hear something. Right out of the blue. And that itself will have in it a seed. In it, a whole piece will be involved in just one idea. Right here. Just like a seed is planted and grows into a flower. And I'll take that idea and listen to it inwardly.
This is Love News Confusion. I'm Pert Clark. You're listening to an interview with John McLaughlin from the Mahavishnu Orchestra.
You know, as far as my limited scope will go, right now. That's one of the ways. I might just hear a chord, and from a chord will suggest a melody. Or I might hear a melody. The melody itself will suggest chords. Or I might just hear a rhythmic pattern, a rhythmic cycle, you know? And the rhythmic cycle will suggest the melody, and the melody will then suggest the chords. Or the rhythmic cycle might suggest the chords, and then the rhythmic cycle and the chords together will produce the melody. Or I might just hear moving lines. Like I've been involved in writing some choral works, some devotional choral works for some time, for about 3 years now. And that's amazing. To hear, you know, because I've heard I've experienced a whole choir singing inside of me, you know. And all I have to do is basically, you know, write it out. Look it out and write it out. If that makes sense, you know.
That your ideas of the infinite are limited now. What are you doing are you doing something to expand?
I'm aspiring, and I'm meditating and I'm praying. Because one day I will experience the infinite. I have experienced it in my own way. I've had experiences of the infinite in my own way. But the thing, I don't have the receptivity or the capacity to receive the infinite at the moment. You know, it's like an ocean's. It's like trying to pour an ocean into a cup. You know, and the process of meditation and prayer is the enlargement of the cup. So eventually we'll be able to accommodate the ocean in it. That's basically what I'm doing. You see that my musical goal and my spiritual goal are completely inseparable. Now my life, you know, as before I was a disciple, I had difficulties because I was a musician and I was a seeker of truth. You know, we're all seeking the truth one way or another, consciously or unconsciously. Don't you agree? Everyone, you know, everyone's looking for it. And it was spiritual, you know, like truth, say, on one side and music on the other, and I had difficulty bringing the two together, you know. Being whole, just being whole, is everything to me, because it means your life is whole and wholesome, and you're not fragmented into compartments and partitions.
It means there's no duality.
Right, exactly. Beautiful. It's just oneness, you know. And you have oneness with yourself too, and that's why I kind of separate any musical goal I have with my spiritual goal. My spiritual goal is to realize and reveal the absolute truth and manifest it in musical forms, but not just in musical forms, in every form. In fact, there's only music. You know, for me, there's this. It's like I was talking before, when someone opens their mouth, you know, they might think they're talking, but they're singing, really. They're singing a song. Only the song might be coming from the mind more than from the heart, or from the intellect, or from curiosity, rather than from, you know. But either way, it's a song. And if they walk, as soon as someone gets up and walks, they're dancing. You can't help but be a musician in this world. You cannot avoid it, because there's sound and there's, you know, and there's movement. It's all musical, and just in the way a person walks can reveal just great things. And the way a person talks can also be very revealing. It's like when I hear my teacher talk, it's just, I tell you, it's just, I hear just pure music when he talks. It's so soulful. It's incredible. I mean, that's the only word I can pick up. It's so deep and so moving. Just he talks, but he talks from such a height and such a depth that it's just pure music to me. It's the purest music. You understand? And I can see it. You see a person walk, and it all depends how you see, you know? How you see and how you hear. And the absolute, you know, truth of your being, it basically is being revealed most of the time, or all of the time. You know? Only we're unaware of it. You know, you can't help but reveal and express what you are, you know. So you might as well become what you are, you know, and just enjoy it. Enjoy life on earth, you know. Enjoy the fun of life. And that's what spirituality is becoming what you truly are. And when I say I want to do it in music, I want to do it in music. But if it's done in myself, it'll be in the music. Inevitable. It's inevitable. You know what I mean?
And it can really be seen, the whole dance with the group,
right.
The whole interaction that takes place.
Yeah, I mean, you should just, like the other band, there used to be some incredible tensions in the band, there were five people in the band and four people who were not on any path at all. And sometimes there would be great difficulty, and then the whole thing was like fought out sometimes on stage. Not in any bad way, sometimes in a very good way, sometimes with very conducive to great music, oddly enough.
Hmm.
But rarely, you know. Making music is done best through harmony and through love, and through sympathy and through empathy. And through identification, through oneness, rather than through, you know, this is what I feel and I know it's right. That's really not the way. But what's important is that I do realize the truth. The absolute truth, because when I realize the truth, then whatever I do and whatever I am will be inundated with that realization. Like what I am, what I do now, is you know, determined by my consciousness.
Don't you think what you're doing now is the absolute truth?
No. The ultimate absolute truth of the beyond. It's in me, but I haven't realized it yet, you know. But the thing is, you know, this is part of it. It's not separate from it. Well, I'm talking about complete realization and complete revelation. You know, absolute revelation and absolute manifestation.
I'm worried that waiting or that trying to get somewhere, it's going to keep me from being where I already am.
Ah, oh.
You see, waiting for absolute truth.
No,
bliss,
not waiting for absolute truth. You're aspiring towards absolute truth.
All right, change my words, and it's still the same place.
No, it's not.
No.
It's very different because if you don't have an ideal, you're evolving. You evolve, but it's just. You know, and not that it's wrong, because, you know, 99.9% of the world's population are evolving at that rate. But it's just that certain people, like myself, I can't wait. I have to have this ideal. And because it gives me joy. It gives me joy. It's selfish, you could say. It gives me joy, but it's the thing that music needs from me, and it's the thing that people need from me, is for me to realize perfection, the absolute truth is perfect, you know, and embody in the music so people can experience it in the music. They want a better experience when they listen to the music, and I want them to have a better experience, but that experience is determined by what's embodied in the music, and what's embodied in the music is determined by the state of my inner consciousness. The state of my inner consciousness is determined by my aspiration, by my ideal. So I don't have time to wait. I have to go for it all the time. You know? And there's no end to it. There's no end. Believe me, you can't just, when you get to realization, say, whew, you know, this is like the beginning. That's the beginning of a new beginning, of a new era. You know. So there's no. You can never sit on your laurels. You know. You can never wait around for anything. It's not that I'm saying. Please don't feel that, you know, I'm putting you down, what you're saying, in any way. Because until you feel it, yourself, it's wrong to push people into it. That's why I'll never push anyone into it. I'll never proselytize. I'll never try and convert anyone, because it's wrong. You know, I'm very much aware of imperfections within myself, and it dissatisfies me, because I know what my real nature is. I know what my true possibilities are. You know, this. And because I know that, then I have to go for it, because that's what God wants me to do, without shadow of doubt. That's exactly what he wants me to do, is to aspire towards his perfection, because it's his perfection. My soul is his sunbeam, you know, because he's like the sun of supreme, all of creation. I'm just one of his little sunbeams, but I want to get back to the source, you know, and enjoy my full unity with him, you know, or with it, with her, whatever you want to call it, with myself, if you like, my full union. You know, and that involves aspiring towards the greatest ideal that I can conceive of.
I see your point in reference to what I asked you.
As opposed to like being here now. The only way I can be here now is by aspiring properly. You know. Everyone aspires in their own way. You know, even people not on spiritual paths, because they're aware of imperfections and they're aware of perfection. Everyone knows perfection intuitively, and everyone's evolving. Even if they didn't want to, you just look at every generation of children that comes up, it's progressively more evolved and more intelligent, because that's God's will. There's nothing anyone can do about it.
You know, do you have children?
Huh?
Do you have children?
I have a son in England, yes, I do.
What's that like?
Oh, it's great. I love him. He loves me too. He's a disciple too, believe it or not.
How did the teachings of Sri Chinmay fit in with everything that you
were saying? Everything I get is from him.
Pardon me?
When I'm with him, he imparts his wisdom to me, and he imparts his light, and he loves me in a way that nobody else does. You know, and because of that, he opens up my capacity to love more. You know, and that's what I need. I have to love more and more. The more I love, the better everything is.
That makes more sense than anything you've said tonight to me.
Good. That's what God is more than anything. It's love.
So thanks to Mahavishnu John McLaughlin and Sri Chinmoy, his teacher, and thanks to you. This has been Pert Clark with Love News Confusion.